I gotta be totally honest with you guys today. I have been struggling to practice what I preach when it comes to how you deal with scary and uncomfortable circumstances in your life. And I have been giving it over to God and the way that He answered me. Oh my goodness, it's crazy. I forget that God will answer you in pretty in-your-face ways. So if you have ever had a hard time with doubt or worry, this episode is just for you. It's all coming up today on She Read It Herself. Hi. How are you, my sweet friend? It's crazy town over here in my side of the world. Oh my gosh, this home buying situation, it's got my brain. My brain is on overload. I was telling my therapist the other day, like, you know, I love my life. I love having three kids, but I add on to that the, you know, I'm working part-time with the podcast. I'm, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, taking care of my family. I'm doing some other stuff. And then on top of that, I'm trying to navigate the home buying all by myself situation for the first time. And my brain just can't function. Do you ever get that way? It's like the limitation becomes clear of things short-circuit after a while. Anyway, that is where I am at, but somehow, one day at a time, I'm getting through it. And I just know that I will get through this, and God will see me through this, and I'm going to have this incredible testimony to give at the end of this. I've been spending a lot of time meditating, just being quiet in God's presence and just waiting, just listening. Because I don't know how this is going to work. There are no homes available, y'all. Seriously, within my budget, 4 bedrooms in my kids' school district, there's just nothing. And the ones that do pop up, they're gone in a second and going for over selling price, over asking price. So it's scary, by the way. If you do happen, if you happen to be selling your house, or maybe your parents retired in Florida and are finally ready to get rid of their Bethesda home, send me a DM on Instagram at Ms. MS Pink Monster. Was that really shameful to put that out now, like in my Bible study podcast? I don't know. You know what? No, you're sisters in Christ, and it's okay to ask for help. I'll have to think about that later. Might delete later. Anyway, where was I? See, that's it. I go one direction and my brain goes, done. That's right. I was telling you about being in that position, getting to the point where the clock is running, y'all. We have to be out by the end of July. I have to finish this process with the lender, and they keep asking for documents and they're taking forever, and then somehow find a home and get into it in the next 2 months. And it is starting to get scary. But here's the thing. I've been here before and worse. When we get a little further into the episode, I'll tell you a couple of stories of how I've handled this in the less than desirable way. But for now, I mean, just getting back on track, I have been spending this quiet time with God, and I've been begging, please give me your wisdom. Please just show me, what do I do next? God, just send me something, because I'm feeling lost. And man, I don't know how I keep forgetting this, that when you ask, expect God to answer, because my goodness, did He answer me in a big and powerful way, and I can't wait to share it with you. Now, I know that we have been going through the book of John, and we're just going to put a little pin in it. We're going to come right back to it, but today, I need to tell you about something that, well, it just kind of fell into my lap, and it takes place in the book of James. Now, in my own little Bible study time, I've already finished the book of John, the one that we're going through together. And little funny side note, I didn't know where to go next. I was like, oh my gosh, what book do I pick? I've gotten so much out of John. And if next I'm going to go through James with everybody, I hope it's a good one. And just, man, God just, he puts things right in your way. I happened to hear this podcast and the woman was talking about James was her favorite book of the Bible. I talked with my Thea, my aunt, the other day. She said her church Bible study group was on James and she was getting a lot out of it. And then just because God, I guess, knows he needs to hit me over the head sometimes, I was still not sure. So I Googled, if you like the book of James, what book should you read next? You know what Google said? James. So that's how we ended up here. And we're going to start off right at the beginning in James 1. But real quick, before we read the actual verses, I want to start off by telling you what I wrote in my journal. You guys know that when I do my Bible study time, I like to write in a journal, not just what I'm getting out of the scripture, but sometimes I'll start with a note of how I'm feeling that day, because it's really neat to look back and see the mindset you were in before you sat down to read your scripture and the incredible ways that God provides exactly what you needed to hear that day. So this day, here's what I wrote. Just got an email from the underwriter for the loan that they need all this stuff, and it made me panicked and sad that I can't do it. I can't prove to them that I should get this house. And guess what my abide meditation was? You guys know I listen to a little daily meditation app. I usually do it right before I start my prayer and Bible study just to get in a calm mindset. But it happened to be one of my favorite new verses that is now on a post-it on my wall, John 20:29, and the topic of doubt. How Thomas had to see and feel Jesus. He had to touch the wounds on his hands and on his side to believe it was really him after he had been crucified and had risen again. And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Okay, so my quote-unquote random meditation that popped up for that day was on doubt and was reaffirming a verse that I had just read about having faith and that I am blessed by having faith in things I haven't seen. And it gets better. All right, back to the journal. I mentioned how after they went over this Bible verse in the meditation, they always close in prayer. And the prayer that they said was all about, Lord, give me the ability to turn over the worry of my circumstances and instead have faith. I mean, come on. Come on. That is just direct answer to the prayer that I'd been saying and the circumstances I was dealing with, what I was struggling with. But it gets better. Okay, so still, before I crack open my Bible and I start with James 1, I felt the need to write down what I call my promises. But they're all of our promises. It's a list of the verses that I have stuck on. I'm looking at them right now. There's a rainbow of post-it notes all around my desk area. And they're the verses, I'll put them in the episode description below, but they're the Romans 8:28. They're the John 16:24, the Jeremiah 29:11, all the verses where God comforts us that he promises he's going to be there. He's going to take care of us. He's got it. And the interesting thing is one of these verses that I say over and over is Jeremiah 29:11. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future. But today I decided to keep reading, and it's actually Jeremiah 12:13 that are pretty good too. And I noted them in my journal. It says, when you call upon me and when you come and pray to me, I will hear you. He promises that he's listening. He's hearing us. We're not just saying this out to the sky and falling on deaf ears. It's a promise. Okay, thanks for bearing with me. I just wanted to make sure you had the whole picture so you could see how cool this is. Now, let's start with the scripture. James 1:1. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and unbegrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's crazy, right? The first thing I wrote in my notes after reading this, I wrote, wow, all caps, exclamation point. It is about trials and doubt versus faith. That verse I just read you, Jeremiah 29:12, it's true. Not just that, surely I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm you, but that last part, when you call upon me, come to me, pray to me, I will hear you. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and not unbegrudgingly, and it will be given to you. These are all promises from God that when we are in this kind of cuckoo, struggling with fear, maybe teetering on desperate mindset like I've been struggling with that I just told you about, He promises to answer. He promises to give you wisdom. He promises that He hears you. All right, so maybe you might just hear all of this, and maybe you're like, okay, Natasha, I think I get the gist of it. I know where you're going. I don't quite have the goosebumps you do yet, but you want me to think of my trials as pure joy? I'm sorry. I'm not there yet. I hear you. So let's break it down, because there actually is a way to get to that mindset, believe it or not, as impossible as that may seem. For the girl that's going through the worst of the worst with her divorce, to get to a place where she can change her perspective, to think about the trials, the bumps along the road as pure joy, I get how crazy that sounds. I get it. I'm miserable and scared, and you want me to feel joy? And you know what my answer is? Yeah. Yeah. Now listen, I have been in some of the crappiest of crappy trials that one can go through in their life. I think most of you know my story by now. If not, you can go back and listen to the Who Is This Chick? Although honestly, that was an hour long and I still didn't even get everything in there that the wildness of my life has been. But here's a few of these circumstances that seem impossible to think of as finding joy in them. One was waiting for my divorce agreement to settle with my first husband, but honestly with my second husband, because my first time experience had been so horrendous, so abusive, so unfair that I was terrified it's all going to happen again. Somehow, he is going to just make my life hell through this divorce. I'm never going to co-parent healthily. Now it's going to be my little boy that this is just miserable. And it was a long process, and there were hiccups that indicated that might just be the case. I felt a never-ending fear that I was terrified to go to court. Or there was a time where I lost my girls. I lost them through the family court system, through these legal court officers that were supposed to be, upstanding and holding themselves to some sort of ethical standard They were supposed to be protecting my children, and instead they gave in to greed and selfish desire, and didn't care what happened to the kids, much less me. That was a pretty dire circumstance. I remember very clearly what my pink bathroom tiles looked like because I spent so much time laying face down on the bathroom floor because the nice cool tiles felt good on my hot, burning, tearful face. Desperate, just, I mean, bellowing. I don't know how else to call the crying, just wailing from the pain and the pain of not knowing when it could possibly get better. Not to mention the time that I was completely fighting an addiction to prescription painkillers. If you have never been in the throes of addiction, it is wild, y'all. I will never look at a drug addict or an alcoholic the same way again, because now I know it is not about your moral capability, your amount of character, your strength of self. Addiction takes, it's like it steals your brain, your conscience, your physical body, the withdrawals that just ache for this substance, and you cannot believe how much you will put that above everyone and everything you love, begging for this demon to leave your body. I have been in some pretty bad circumstances that I most certainly did not look at as joy at the time. But here's the thing. Every single one of those circumstances truly did end with me getting so much stronger. And not just stronger, not just the endurance of faith that James is talking about, but God ended up blessing me in these wild ways that I never even conceived was a possibility. I was thinking just small, just in the little window of my circumstances that I needed to change, when in truth, it was all part of this massive, bigger plan that with each and every one of those blessed my life. Rehab and sobriety changed my life. In one day, I'll do a whole episode on it that never would have happened if I hadn't have gone through the trial of addiction. Me not having my girls and going through that awful circumstance changed me in incredible ways because I was all alone and had to learn to rely on God in the midst of terrible pain. And listen, it is awful that my daughters lost their father. And I do wish I could bring him back in some way that they never had to feel that pain. But God did give us that now they live with me every single day. They're free from the trauma that felt like it was going to be never ending. And we were blessed enough to be financially taken care of because of his passing. God provided a way out that I never dreamed was possible. So yes, now when I think about my circumstances and I think about the doubt and the fear of going into a trial, why did this have to happen that we lost our home? Yeah, I can get to a place eventually, maybe not always immediately, but I can get to a mental place eventually of joy, because God, this just means God is opening another path. And if history proves correct, he's gonna bless me if I take that path. Now, there were two other things in those verses that I want to make sure we acknowledge before I let you go, because they're crazy important. Wisdom and doubt. Do you remember what verse 5 said? If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. And remember Jeremiah 29, verse 13, when you call upon me, come to me and pray to me, I promise I will hear you. I think we know by now that when we're stuck in these uncomfortable circumstances, that we often try to find our own way out. We use our own wisdom or the voices of those around us, maybe the experts in that field. But the one thing I've learned is to take a breath, take a beat, and ask for God's wisdom. But here's another thing I've learned lately, and it goes right along with verse 6, which says, but ask in faith, never doubting, is to pray with expectation. Do you know what I mean by that? Usually I would pray and I would say, please God, give me wisdom. I really hope that I get to hear your voice and what you want me to do. I'll do it. I'm not so sure that I hear you. You know, there's that seed of doubt that God is going to actually answer me, that he's going to give me the wisdom of what to do next. But verse 6 tells us to pray in faith, never in doubt. So the way I do it now, and what I mean by praying with expectation, is instead of doing it that way, is I say, thank you, God, for giving me your wisdom. I know that you will answer me. I believe you when you promise me that you hear me and you will give me what I need. And I thank you now for the wisdom that you are going to give me right when I need it. I praise you and thank you. Pray with expectation, because expectation is showing that we have faith that God's going to make good on his promises. My kids and I, especially my little guy, we do pinky promises when we want to show that we really mean it, you know, because he'll be like, yes, I'm gonna clean my room, Mom. I promise. If you just let me finish this, I promise I'll go do it. And be like, all right, really? Really, bud? Be like, yeah, I promise. Pinky promise. And I know when that little pinky comes out in the air, same thing with the girls, that they're gonna do good on it. Nobody ever goes back on the pinky promise. In that same way, pray with that same kind of faith, that faith that you can relax because you know he's not going to change his mind. He's not going to flake on you. And God's not going to leave you hanging. He's good for it. So pray in faith and pray with expectation. And that last little bit, that last word before we close, ask in faith, and never in doubt. Doubting is like a wave of the sea tossed by the wind. Man, do I know what this feels like. I'll get in a good place. I'll feel sure in my faith that God is going to get me through this, for example, this process with the lender, with the mortgage. I know that he's going to get us through this, and I know he's going to provide a home. But that's when the wind hits. I'll get the email that I talked about from the lender saying, wait just a minute, we need more documentation. Or that I'll see a house that I really like, and then I see that it goes for like $100,000 over asking price, and I think there's no way my budget can handle that. Those outside things are like the wind, and they make me turn in a different direction. I start to doubt. Just like how waves in the sea, they change the way they break because of the wind. It says not to be double-minded or unstable in the way that we have faith, in the way that we pray. Double-minded means not really knowing what God is going to do. Having that seed of doubt that maybe he is going to screw you over on this one. Having part of your brain being worried, he's not going to answer you. If you go into prayer like that, James says, don't expect to hear from the Lord. Now, do I think it's that black and white or harsh? No. I mean, God has given me so much mercy and grace and understanding as I've been growing like a baby in this process. It's a little baby Christian. I was saved when I was 13 years old, but it wasn't until I was 42 years old that I really dedicated my life to this. And I have had a lot of learning to do. So even when I had times of doubt, God just, he gently guided me through it. And then back to what we talked about before, those trials, my faith got stronger. And now I'm in a place that I can try and be not like the waves of the sea, but to pray, not just with expectation, but to have a type of relaxation in my faith, knowing he will answer and he will provide. Take my word for it. It's so much better this way. All right. I know this has been a long episode. Forgive me. There was just so much on my heart that I wanted to share with you. I got this nagging feeling that there was somebody who was feeling the same way I was in her circumstances and needed this, well, this beautiful message straight from God through the scripture so she can know she's going to be okay. All right, I feel like this is super cheesy, but do you mind if we pray together before I let you go? I always thought, praying over a podcast is like a total cheeseball move, but I don't think of you guys as just these random numbers on a screen. I know that you are other women like me. So let's do this together, okay? Unless you're driving, don't close your eyes in that case. Father God, thank you so much for all these incredible women. Thank you so much for what you taught me today. Thank you that you will always provide for us. Thank you for the wisdom that you are going to give each and every one of us, and that we're going to know the next step to take and how to get it through whatever circumstances are in our lives right now that are causing us some stress and some pain. Thank you for always providing a way out. Thank you that your way is also going to be the one that makes us the happiest, that you see the big picture and your plans are to bless us. Please help me to be still for long enough to get to your plan. Please help me not to be anxious. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your blessings. And thank you for these incredible women that I get to share this with. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go. I got to go pick up a kid who I think she got injured in baseball practice and now nurse's office called and she needs to go home and, I don't know, sit in front of the TV while her finger feels better. You know how it is. Okay, I will see you next week. Have a lovely weekend. Have an incredible day. And hopefully, no, I'm expecting it, that you're going to have a lot more peace than when we started this episode. So much love. Bye.